Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure on this Tuesday, April 12th, to welcome you to the podcast. I want to remind you that this week at Mountain Brook Baptist, we have lots going on. Dr. Mark Genolette is with us Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So if you're listening to this in the morning on Tuesday, I hope you'll join us for the noon service. We have another noon service on Wednesday, and then on Thursday night, we'll have our Maundy Thursday service. That's at 6:30. Sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied this morning. And then on Friday, we'll have another service on Good Friday at noon. Then on Sunday, we'll have two services at 9 and 11, and Sunday morning Bible study in between, and I hope you'll be able to join us for those services. We're picking up in Exodus chapter 19, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Moses is at Mount Sinai with the people of Israel. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai. And Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud, so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, 'Be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. They are to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. No person or animal shall be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain.'" After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, "Prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations." Before we move on, I just want to go back up here to verse 4. Oh man, it's wonderful. It's a reminder of God's character. It says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt." It's this act of remembering. And then he says, "And how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Lord, we just thank you for sometimes carrying us on eagle's wings. And if my brothers and sisters find themselves in precarious situations today, being pursued or in a land that feels like a desert, I pray that you would carry them on eagle's wings. And then verse 5, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of the nations you will be my treasured possession." Just such a reminder again, Lord, that we need to obey your word. Help us to know your word, to crave your word, and then to obey it. Okay, let's move over to the Psalms. We're making our way through the Psalter, and today we're on Psalm 111. Now, I noticed that Psalm 111, 112, and 113 all start with the same words, praise the Lord. And I was reading in my study Bible that Psalm 111 is an alphabetic acrostic, and so every half line advances the alphabet. Now, this would be the Hebrew alphabet that starts with Aleph. And the last verse, I think, is what we need to read first to kind of give us an idea for what this psalm is about. Listen to verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Will you praise the Lord with me as we read this psalm together? Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And now let's turn over to the book of Romans. We're continuing this discussion of the law and faith and righteousness. Does it come from the law or does it come from faith? And today, the title is The Law and Sin. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing an opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that doesn't. So I find this law at work, Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Thank you so much for listening along as we read God's word together. I feel like I need to go back and reread that passage in Romans 7 about 400 times to understand it. I think the main point is that sin is always a struggle, and it will be this side of eternity. But as the psalm reminds us, and as the passage in Exodus reminds us, we are called to continually strive towards obedience and listening for God's voice and His word. And in those moments where we don't do what we want to do, we know what is right, and we don't do it, we cling to the Savior. Look at verse 24 again of Romans 7. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may that be our prayer of praise today. We thank you, God, for Jesus Christ, who delivers us from the depths of our sin and has been raised to life so that we also can walk in this same newness of life. Today, we are praying for our brothers and sisters whose names start with Y. Is that correct? No. I think I'm ahead of myself somehow. WX. Oh, it's X. Sorry, I should have figured that out ahead of time. X is the letter that we are doing today. I don't know. Well, do you know anyone named Xavier? I don't know anyone by the name of X, and I haven't looked in the directory yet, but I'll do that in just a second. But you may know someone in your midst whose name starts with X. And if not, think about all the excellent people whom God has placed in your path. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for the reminders in Exodus that you are good. Thank you, Lord, for your provision for the Israelites, and help us, Lord, to be dependent upon your same provisional attributes. We praise you along with the psalmist. Teach us, Lord, to be people who fear you, knowing that that is where wisdom begins. Thank you for our brothers and sisters whose names start with X. We lift them to you today. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.